Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Thought Song, that's what we like to call it, a heart-to-heart communion. This Thought Song, this radio program, is being recorded for Sunday, January 29, 2017, and I am very grateful to be with you. As we take a look at counseling and that kind of thing, I get a lot of questions about counseling, especially from women who are looking for, well, someone to talk to, but only in their way. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Oh, yes, the misogynist, Greg. Anyway, I want to remind you that this radio program, as well as our TV programs, are all there on the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. And you will see a slew of TV programs that are there, and you're going to also see a ton of radio there. And all of these were made possible by my beloved sponsors who support this work, see the bigger picture of what we are trying to do, offer the public an authentic spiritual practice, and one that might fit into the compelling problems you might be finding in your life. Anyway, it's all there, and I want to thank them for their sponsorship, their kindness, their support, and I want to encourage you, obviously, if you are finding any kind of help here, to help us maintain our radio program through your tax-deductible gifts and become a sponsor. It's a very important thing. It helps a lot of people more than you know, and who knows, it might even help you. Counseling, what the heck is it? You know, people basically think they know everything just by how they live their life. No one needs to tell them what to do and how to do it. And when they run up against a problem here or there, they usually can deal with it. So they think, so they do. They deal with it in their way. And then a problem begins or something happens that they didn't expect. And then they have to do counseling and or they seek help. And sometimes in counseling, they seek someone's help like mine or someone else's. And defining the whole process of counseling is interesting because most counselors are very reluctant really help a person. They just listen. Other counselors have an agenda, or some have movements, religious movements that they're dedicated to. So you go and see them and find out what the religion's going to tell you what to do, that kind of thing. But not with me. I don't do any of that. And when someone comes to me, I take it very seriously. And here are some questions. And I can tell you I get literally a year, probably in the neighborhood of 300 questions about counseling and what counseling is all about and that whole thing. First question comes from Lisa in Brentwood, California. How hard is counseling with you? I don't think I would be as comfortable with you as I would like to be because of your blatant honesty. I can tell on the radio you hold no punches back. Could you tell me what a person like myself, who is a bit shy, would expect from someone like you who is a little more out there, quote unquote, Lisa? Lisa, if you had a tooth that had a cavity in it and it was hurting you, would you want the dentist to look at you and say, well, gosh, you know, it's going to hurt so much to drill a hole in your tooth and get the cavity out. I think it would be more pain than you can withstand. And I just think that you should probably go home and ride through this until the cavity, finishes its course of action and the tooth falls out. Is that the way you would approach a? Well, no. You say, well, there's anesthesia and all that. I have no anesthesia. I mean, if I could, you know, take my spiritual bat and whack you across the head, knock you out for a few minutes, and then suggest a few things into your brain that would help you be more loving and kind and bring forth answers to your dilemmas, I'd do it in a heartbeat, but I don't have that available to me. The problem with human beings is they create their own problems, we do. And then in order to help you understand the nature of the problem and correct it, quote unquote, some things have to be said that you don't want to hear. People don't want the truth. What was it? You can't handle the truth, Jack Nicholson said. And he's right. We don't like the truth about ourselves. And actually, it isn't truth, to be honest with you. It's the misnomers that we have accepted as true. And it isn't really the truth of you. It's a misnomer. I have been a counselor for 44 years now and helping people with their spiritual dilemmas. And it is very difficult to do it. I will admit, and whether you like hearing this or not, call me names, men are easier to do counseling with than women. Women don't want to hear it. They want to think their poop don't stink and they're cute and pricky and they got their boobies sticking out and they can do anything they want. They want to be entitled. The man, on the other hand, he's looking at it like this is a problem. I got to fix it. La, la. Now, not that his approach is effective. It's just easier to talk to men about their issues with women or their issues with themselves, I should really say. And women, it's not so easy because of a maternal issue that they have in their DNA. And then you've got the cultural issues that support the maternal issues in their DNA. And then you've got the genetics to fight through. When people come to me, they're looking for a Band-Aid, not looking for, well, what can I do to change my life? Counseling is about an entire life change. It isn't about fixing a little bit over here and fixing a little bit over there, and then everything is hunky-dory. It just isn't like that. But people like to believe that's the case. Most people go to counseling to find out that they're right. When I first started, I could not believe what I used to hear, Lisa. I would sit there, I remember sitting there in Santa Barbara, California, in my office at Unity Church of Santa Barbara. My jaw was on the ground when I was hearing these 70-year-old women come in and tell me that they had been molested by their grandfathers when they were younger. I couldn't believe it. I was so naive and stupid that I could not believe or fathom that any grandfather would touch his granddaughter in such a manner. It just is over the top. But that's what I was facing. And I remember going into the senior minister at the time and saying, you know, Bill, I don't know how to deal with this. I wasn't trained for this. And he said, oh, just, you know, give him an affirmation and da, da, da. And it was really, he had a terrible attitude. Went back to school and did the whole thing and tried to understand the nature of what it was that we struggle with as human beings. Human beings are, how do you describe it? An enigma to themselves. They just make more and more problems based on the confidence they have in thinking that their genetics, their DNA, and their emotionality can answer every problem and isn't a part of any problem. And that's where we go wrong. I used to watch West Wing a lot. I like West Wing. It's an interesting kind of lesson in physics. the dynamic of energy. And as I watched it, you know, till the end, it was very powerful for me. They got nothing done. They got absolutely nothing done, nothing important. They didn't change anything. They got nothing done because there's so many people with so many problems and so many agendas, and they think they know what the answer is. And when you have a lot of people who think they know what the answer is and all of that, it makes it very difficult to help people because you can't give them the answer to their problem without being honest and forthright. Lisa, I'm not a mean person. I'm really not. I'm not a person who enjoys the idea of hurting another person in order to help them. I'm really not. You're right about my blunt honesty. My students will tell you I am very honest with them and blunt when they need it. Now, I give them chances to get it without taking the metaphoric pie and throwing it in their face like soupy sales. I have that. I give them that chance, but most of the time they don't get it because they don't think in metaphor. And if you think in metaphors and you're able to see your life in metaphor, that this begets that, begets this, begets this, then you got something. Then you don't have to do that. And I've had a few people in my era who didn't need a whack. But 9 out of 10 of them, most of them being women, need strong whacking. And what the whack is, you can't do that and expect this. That's really all the whack is. You can't be doing this and acting this way and thinking this way and expect it to be over here. I remember, and I'll just give you one and then I'll get off my soapbox here. I told a student he was having difficulty with his wife. I've known his wife for years, okay? She's been in the practice for years, okay? It doesn't matter how long you're in the practice. What matters is the depth of your sincerity. And he was going on and on. He goes, Greg, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do about that. And I said, okay, here's what you do to cut through the crap. This is what you do. You walk in when you're having an argument and you just look at her with the most loving eyes you can and you ask her one question. Harriet, that's not her real name. Harriet, how do you want this to end? How do you see this ending? Our argument. She got furious at him. And of course, him being who he was, he said, well, Greg told me to say that. Oh, and she was furious with me. How do you want this to end? So, Lisa, I say this to you. You heard counseling with me is difficult, blah, blah, all the way to Brentwood. I'm impressed. How do you want it to turn out? How do you want this to turn out? How do you want your life to turn out? And when you've answered that question for yourself and you can really look at it and see it for what it is, that's when you'll be ready to maybe be challenged a little bit and see how it all works out. I hope that helps you, Lisa. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from Trina. I don't know where she lives. How do you help people in counseling to become aware? I don't see how that is ever possible. Trina. Trina, you are right. You are absolutely right. 99 9/10 of our problems are due to my lack of awareness, your lack of awareness. We have none. Defining awareness is the ability to recognize the bigger picture of whatever is going on in the course of a person's life. Now, once you start to understand that, you start to become aware of what's really going on in your life, in my life, and how they intercede with each other, interact with each other. Lives are living things, Trina. They're actually living things, and they interact with each other. They're like magnets, and they draw to themselves different situations, conditions, and circumstances, some which seem favorable, some that are not. But I want you to remember something, and this is hard for people to understand. In this world, every favorable thing that ever happens turns into an unfavorable thing later on. So nothing in this world should I cling to. If I cling to it, I will become miserable. If I insist upon clinging to it, I only accentuate my misery. It is best to live in nati-nati, neither this, neither that. If I have a dualistic mind, I'm never going to be able to understand the nature of anything. If my mind is dualistic in the sense of, well, this is good for me, and this is bad for me, and this is a terrible thing, and this is a wonderful thing, then I miss. It is best to live in the middle way, as the Buddha said, as Jesus taught as well. Neither go right nor left. Stay in the middle. Watch, observe. Become aware of certain states of emotionality, of how we drop into our pain by trying to avoid our pain. It is in my incessant need to avoid my pain that I create more pain for myself. You can't help people become aware. Awareness comes out of a couple of things. One is intuition, and two is mercy. If I'm merciful on the inside, I will become intuitive. If I'm intuitive, I will become merciful. And these two qualities merge together. And once a person has had a taste of this kind of awareness, they want more. Because it is so deeply beautiful. To get to that more, you have to begin to change your lifestyle. And the lifestyle change that we all need is something called meditation. Meditation is a way of enhancing and enriching our intuition and our sense of mercy. It is bringing us back into accord, into the oneness of everything that sustains beauty and life and kindness. The truth is merciful. The truth is intuitive. The truth of any given situation in a person's life is found through intuition and mercy. If you are not interested in those two qualities, if you're only interested in self-righteousness and vindictiveness, then you will never find the intuitiveness or anything else that would bring you to the love of your life. When you think you've been wronged, or that you're in some kind of situation where you are right and another person's wrong, you are tearing apart your awareness. You will never know true awareness that way. True awareness is never found in "you're wrong, I'm right." True awareness is found only in the intuitive nature of realizing where that person is coming from and what they are seeking to establish in their life, and then having the mercy to see it all without condemning them, without berating them. In fact, with the interest of communing with them. I know counselors and ministers, my colleagues, who would never go that far. Never. And these are people who think that they're in the business of helping other people. And I am amazed when I talk to them and see and hear what they do, that they don't get it. Can't say a word to them. It's none of my business. But I get the limits that are there. You have to see the limits of other people and not condemn them for it. Even when it's obvious. You can't condemn them, because if you do, you lose your mercy. Everybody has karma. Trina, all of us have karma. We are here in this lifetime due to karma. How you want to live out that karma and deal with it is something that no one can tell you how to do or what to do. You have to have the intuitive awareness of it all. And if you do, If you have that intuitive awareness, then something of the other shore can reach you. Something beautiful can start to happen within you. But I am telling you on this beautiful day of January 29th, 2017, that's when this recording is supposed to be on the internet, you will see the beauty of your life in a different way if you are kind enough. If your intent is to be intuitive and your heart is centered in mercy, you can change the course of a person's life in a heartbeat. Something for you to think about. I hope this helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from Jay, and he does not tell me where he lives. Now, it could be a woman, I don't know. I did a counseling session with my therapist for many years. I'm sorry. I did many counseling sessions with my therapist for years, and nothing really happened. All he did was collect my money and listen to me and give me a few brief explanations for my issues. Is this as far as it goes? Why did he do this, Jay? Jay, I don't know why he did it. I don't. I'm not a soothsayer, and I don't know. I do know that in traditional counseling, you get traditional ideas thrown at you. The trajectory of them is usually based in something called critical thinking, which is an anomaly unto itself. And the whole idea of counseling, for the most part, with most counselors, not all, but many, is, you know, you're here to make their house payment, and your problems are difficult. And truthfully, you know, if it be really told, really the truth be told, people don't want answers to their questions. And if you gave them the answers to their questions and their difficulties, they just go, I can't do that. And they go right back to what they were doing because they live in a loop. And this is an endless loop over and over of fear and anger and self-hatred. So much so that they can't see that they're hating themselves. They just can't see it. So they just go on hating themselves the way they hate themselves and expect there to be some change in their life. I don't do it that way. If I think I can't help a student, if I think I can't work with them or a counselee, I don't. And I have released many a counselee in my day. I just say, you're not built for this. This is about a spiritual practice. This is about transcending your emotionality, not enhancing it. This is about creating a new mind and a new lifestyle. This is about ending dualistic thinking. I say those things to them. They don't get it. They're out. You need to go back to your traditions and feel the pain and sorrow of it all and the repetitiousness of it, which is hell, until you just can't take it anymore. You know, with our problems, they break us down. And what they're there for, in truth, is to see the futility of our emotionality, the futility of dualistic thinking, the futility of vengeance and pride and hatred. Now, I don't know many people that are willing to give that up, both men and women, especially, though, women. Once you've given them a reason to hate you, they will hate you forever. And that's the way they think in their genetics and their DNA. There is nothing you can do about that. Jay, when you really are serious about dealing with whatever's going on in you, the right teacher, the right person will arrive. And it takes more than just a counselor. You've got to have a teacher, someone who is there to help you with your lifestyle. And who wants that? Because people will say, well, who are you to tell me how to live? And with that attitude, there is nothing that can be done to serve you, help you, or awaken you. And it's all about awakening, and it's all about love, whether you know it or not. It's all about love. That's all it is. I'm out of here. Please forgive me, Jay. Namaste. I hope I helped some of you today. I really do. If you have a comment or question, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. And when you get there, you will see media. Pull it down. You will see Satsang with Siraj. That be me. And you can ask your question about whatever is on your mind. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. And please forgive me. Namaste.